Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Bears.
It's Mark Grody on 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station.
Yeah, man, great to be with you on a Monday night. There is really nothing like evening coffee, but that's what's going to be happening tonight.
Coffee.
Fresh pot brewed, yes, coffee by my side. It's that, you know what it is? It's that first sip of the coffee, whether it's in the morning or in the night, whatever it is. It's that first sip or two that gives you the necessary, like every sip thereafter. Every sip thereafter is not quite as good as those first couple of sips where you cape your palms around your mug and you just enjoy that coffee. And you can interpret what I just said, what just came out of my mouth, any way you would like, but I said it, that's what it is, and that's where we are. So I've got a LaCroix on one side, a coffee on the other side, and I'm ready to rock, man. I am Mark Grody, in for Joe Ostrowski tonight. Until 10 o'clock here on 670 The Score. And right now, I am, other than drinking coffee in LaCroix, I am staring down, absolutely staring down July 24th, because July 24th is the date on which both the Cubs and the White Sox are scheduled to have their season openers, both teams at home. Both teams on a Friday night. Yeah, I bet you didn't know that. Yeah, a lot of Cubs and White Sox home at the same time situations this year because of everything that's going on. Actually, the Cubs and Sox in the last few years have been at home, having home series, home and homes, a lot in the last couple of years. I don't know the exact quirk and why the schedule has worked out that way, but it's not as novel as it once was when you have both teams in town and attempting to do the red line trips and all that. You won't be able to do that this year because they're night games. But yeah, it is July 24th. It's not this week, but it's next week when we'll actually be talking about baseball games, when you could take every single game seriously, and we can, and feel good about ourselves, overreact even on game one on July 24th when the Cubs host Milwaukee right here on The Score, and the White Sox will be hosting the Minnesota Twins. But anyway, I am going to be hosting, as a matter of fact, looking at the Score schedule every day this week in some way, shape, or form. I'll be here today, obviously, tomorrow and Wednesday when I'll be in for Joe O. Thursday and Friday, I get to fill in the noon to 2 slot for Lawrence Holmes' show. Then I'll be on Saturday with Rosenblum, 11 to 2. And then I believe I'm on Sunday, 12 to 3. So when I say I'm on every day, I mean I'm working 7 days for everybody this week. And one of my goals will be, and I'll be able to spread it out some, one of my goals this week will be to gain intelligence, or do you say intel, on the Cubs and White Sox competition this year, because every team in baseball will play 10 games apiece against each of the four teams in their division. That is 40 damn games. 4-0. More than ever, you got to beat the teams that play in your division. That's always imperative, but this year that's the schedule. That's where it is. If you really want to break down your favorite team, whatever it is, wherever it is, look at the teams in your division, because that's who you got to beat. The other 20 games are going to be against the corresponding division, like the NL Central versus the AL Central, West against East, and so on and so forth, up and down and all around. Your sister divisions, as I like to call it. So all week, I am going to preview teams in the Cubs and White Sox divisions. Tonight, we'll talk about the Cincinnati Reds with Mark Sheldon of MLB.com. That's at 7. That's an interesting team. That's where we find Nick Castellanos. Oh, yeah, Nick Castellanos is there. Really good pitching rotation, good bullpen. Seems like a good offense. It seems like the Reds got it going on this year. So we are going to find out if that's what they are thinking in Cincinnati as well. We'll see if they are for real. We'll also see what's up with the Minnesota Twins, and we'll do that by way of Dan Hayes. He writes for The Athletic, used to actually write here in Chicago for the White Sox. So we will get him on, a familiar voice to some, at 9:20, so we can find out what's going on with Twins, who hit homers in just about every at-bat last year. And then they went and added power, Josh Donaldson. So it would appear that, you know, a team that everybody wanted to be a fluke last year, really not. And as a matter of fact, I think they got better this year. So we'll find out what those teams, those cities are thinking about their teams. And I know, the disclaim is going to be that everything is different. You can't look at it in a standard way because it's 60 games. Yeah, I can. I kind of do. I know that there's all sorts of different permutations and ways the season can end up. And I know every team has a chance because there's 60 games, or at least you could make the argument for that. I still think the best teams with the best starting pitching are going to win this year. That's still, I don't think they're going to be the flukes that people are thinking about. It's fun to talk about. It's fun to say. It ain't going to happen. Best teams are going to win. Best teams are going to be in the playoffs if they are able to, barring COVID and all that kind of stuff, able to, you know, crown a champion this year. I think it's going to be a familiar name. It's going to be a name that a lot of people probably expected to win. Also tonight, disclaimer, I don't speak gambling. The regular host of this show, Joe Ostrowski, is one of the best in the business when it comes to gaming and gambling and the talk thereof. I can't speak the language. I don't do it. However, out of respect to Joe O and to you guys and gals listening, Joe O's regular listeners, we will be doing early odds still at 8:20 because some dude won $1 million betting on golf at Rivers Casino. So we are going to actually hear from that guy. While I don't understand gambling, I do understand $1.3 million and how that could change one's life. But we will hear from that guy at 8:20 and early odds. So, Joe, we'll keep the spirit alive for you, man. You can get a hold of me on the phone or text at any time tonight, 312-644-6767. I'm on Twitter, at Mark Grody Sports. If you want to interact that way, I'll constantly refresh the Twitter page as well. I am active on Instagram and Facebook as well. The man to whom you will speak, if you do call tonight, if you feel like doing it that way, is Adam Studzinski. He is our producer for tonight, and I am here until 10 o'clock. I have made, this is the time of year, since we only got a little while to go here before the season actually starts, it's time to make grand conclusions. My grand conclusion heading into this baseball season for the Chicago White Sox, and we'll talk a lot of Cubs later too, but the White Sox, is that they are going to have to hit the Dickens out of the baseball. They are going to have to mash, and I say that because the teams with the best starting pitching and a shortened season will win this year, and the Sox are suspect in that regard. And yes, the Sox would be perfectly capable of hitting the Dickens out of the baseball this season. There's a lot of muscle on that team. There was going into this season. More has been added by way of Edwin Encarnacion. Nomar Mazara, if you like him to, I don't know, rebound, but realize potential, one that he hadn't really realized. He adds something to you. Second year of Eloy Jimenez, Luis Robert being here for the first time, that's going to add some serious muscle to the picture. Yasmani Grandal, Jose Abreu, they should be able to. The White Sox should be able to hit the hell out of the baseball, and they are going to have to, because let's talk about the pitching. And you know the news, Michael Kopech having opted out, with that news coming out this past Friday. And that really, yeah, that changes things quite a bit, the entire picture for the White Sox. So the way I look at it for the White Sox right now is that Lucas Giolito and Dallas Keuchel are the sure things, and that's it in the starting rotation for the White Sox, as in you know what to expect from those two guys, and it's pretty good. I don't know about Dylan Cease. I don't know about Reynaldo Lopez, and this puts the Sox in an exact position they didn't want to be in, one where they are depending on Gio Gonzalez as opposed to him being you know, a nice addition, a guy who came up with the White Sox, was traded back and forth with the White Sox a couple of times, and actually, amazingly, has never actually pitched for the White Sox on the big league team. Now he's a guy that you are hoping to get something out of, but you're certainly not going to expect to make him like a core part of 2020, and that's not good. Gio Gonzalez has had a nice career, but at this point his durability is suspect. And, it, you know, with the Brewers last year, 3-2 with a 3.50 ERA, but his arm died in June. Yes, he had dead arm, death of his arm. Not good that early in the season, not dependable at this point. That doesn't mean that he won't give you a few good starts, but it's not like Keuchel or Giolito where you can just map out, you know, what you think he would do for a season, especially in a 60-game season. You're probably going to be pretty close if you are logical about it. At this point, you know, Gio Gonzalez is a one-year contract guy, year to year. Some are going to be minor league deals, as I know he had with the Milwaukee Brewers. I think it's a big league contract with the Sox, but it's a one-year deal, and he probably won't be with the White Sox next year. Let me, though, circle back to Reynaldo Lopez, because the White Sox catcher, one of the White Sox catchers, the penciled-in backup this year to Yasmani Grandal, James McCann, who was as in tune with the Sox starting pitching as anybody last year. He was terrific in terms of working with pitchers. He was on with McNeil and Parkins, I think it was this past Friday, and Spiegel sitting in. And he has always seemed like, when I have heard him, whether it's on the radio or seen him in sound bites on TV, he always has seemed like a pretty straight shooter. But I don't know if what we're about to hear right now is hyperbole, but let's just get to it. Let's listen to where he sets the bar for Reynaldo Lopez.
I think when you look across the board, all of our young guys made improvements. But one guy that really sticks out to me is Reynaldo Lopez. You know, he had a tough year last year, had some good moments, had some rough moments. And, you know, I think he took it to heart, and he went out and he worked his tail off this offseason. When he showed up to spring training back in Arizona, the comment I made was the difference in him from 2019 to 2020 was similar to the difference of Giolito from 2018 to 2019. So I'm excited to see how that kind of transpires. And, you know, you can't expect him to all of a sudden put up a year like Giolito put up last year. But you can definitely see the progress that he's made. And, you know, I'm not going to put you know, expectations on him, but I think you're going to see a different Reynaldo Lopez than what you saw last year. I've been very impressed with him in camp.
Yeah, I agree with that part. I think you are going to see a different Reynaldo Lopez. You know, he was pretty good a couple of years ago. But Giolito, man, I don't know if you can expect that kind of a jump. Giolito made astounding improvements from 2018 to 2019. You know, just going through some of the numbers, he goes from Giolito from allowing 118 earned runs to 67 earned runs. I'm talking about year to year from 2018 to 2019 and all of these. From a 6.13 earned run average to a 3.41 ERA. From 90 walks to 57 walks. From 125 strikeouts to 228 strikeouts. And just for the hell of it, from 15 hit-by-pitches to 4 hit-by-pitches. I mean, just everything across the board didn't just, like, improve is not even the right word for Giolito. It was just this major jump. And he's got the pedigree to make you feel like it was legit, considering where he was once drafted with the Washington Nationals and the stuff and the makeup. Like, it's all there. It was all scouted. And so that's why I'm confident that it's real, like what Giolito did, and also a couple of the performances that he had last year, like when he shut out the Houston Astros and the Minnesota Twins then later in the season. Like, there was too much legitimacy with Giolito to think that he won't be something comparable to what he was last year. And just so you know, when I'm giving those numbers from Giolito, it's a similar amount of innings pitched between 2018 and 2019. Like, Giolito had 173 and a third to 176 and two-thirds over those 2 years. So it's pretty comparable, in case you were wondering about that. For Reynaldo Lopez, just get him back to 2018 when he had the 3.91 ERA opposed to last season's 5.38. Lopez is always going to strike you out. That ain't a problem. He had 169 strikeouts last year, including that 14 strikeout game against Detroit in April when everybody thought, okay, he's back, he's on target, and then he really wasn't. So just get him back to some sort of semblance as to what he was 2 years ago. I don't think that Ranaldo Lopez is ever going to be an ace, but I still think that he is a guy who is a good middle-of-the-rotation starter. No, not somebody I'm thinking bullpen yet, although, yeah, he has characteristics of one who could be in a bullpen with his ability to strike guys out and, you know, burning out sometimes during games. But I still think he's like a 3 or 4 in your rotation. So moving on, who else? Who else can help you out in that Sox rotation? Dane Dunning, the 25-year-old righty, and if you've lost track, Dunning is former first-round pick of the Nationals, came to the White Sox along with Giolito, Ranaldo Lopez for Adam Eaton. Man, you got to make that trade work. All you gave up was Adam Eaton. He is supposedly Dunning, healthy for 2019 for this year. He had his Tommy John surgery last year in 2019, but he's never thrown a pitch in the bigs, and there's no way they're going to push Dane Dunning this year. You just can't. So can he contribute? Yes. Can he be a force? No. Jimmy Lambert, a Sox fifth round draft pick in 2016, added to the 40-man roster after last season for Birmingham last year. Lambert was 3-4 with a 4.55 ERA in 11 starts. So that brings me now to the guy that I know that Sox fans are like, well, what about Carlos Rodon? What about Danks? I know you're saying that too. What about Carlos Rodon? You did not want him to be in a position to have to be a primary starter this year. Like I said last year, I wasn't sure if Rodon would be back with the Sox this year. And this was Ricky Renteria not that long ago. As a matter of fact, just a few weeks ago, he was on Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine, and I think David Haw was filling in. What's up, Paul? But listen to him talking about Carlos Rodon coming out of the pen.
He's been down a little while. I mean, for me, Los is unique in that I think he's capable of starting, relieving. He can do any number of things. I think that the most important thing for all of us, and this is just me thinking long-term for these guys, is to make sure that they're truly healthy and able to perform. And we'll figure out where we need to go. I mean, it is a short season, as everybody knows. But I think a well-thought-out understanding of what we need in a particular moment.
And that, again, Ricky Renteria, the manager of the Chicago White Sox. And it's been, I don't know, what word to use. It's been a rough career for Carlos Rodon. Drafted third overall. That was when Kenny Williams was doing the drafting. That was back in 2014, same year as Kyle Schwarber, just to, if that helps with reference points and how long they've been around and ages and all that kind of thing. It feels like these guys have been around forever, but not really. Big league debut in 2015, and then here we go. 2016, disabled list with a wrist sprain. 2017, only 12 starts. 2018, began the season on the 60-day disabled list. 2019, Carlos Rodon in March was named the opening day starter. And then in May of 2019, Tommy John surgery. And when Rodon pitches, you know that he's really good. He's a fun pitcher to watch, man. He's really good. But when would be the key word here? And, you know, it's unfortunately his you can't depend on him as a starter. This is his last year with the White Sox as far as being under contract. I don't expect him to be around with the Sox after this year. He's going to be, you know, he's going to be like a perfect team's reclamation project. You know he's going to want to still start, and I think there's probably some teams that are going to be willing to do that and want to do that, but the Sox shouldn't. They don't have to, and they have put their time in with Carlos Rodon, so it's probably time to cut ties after this year. I just don't know exactly where he fits in, probably more out of the bullpen. And when Renteria said that was the first time I had heard that, and so that tells me that even though he said he can do everything, you can't pencil him in as a dependable starter. It's too bad. It really is too bad, and there's bad luck involved for sure, and he seems like a good dude, but I think it's almost time to cut ties with him. One of the – let me give you some good here too. One of the best contracts the White Sox produced was back in February of 2020 when, yeah, that's, you know, kind of pre-COVID. Yeah, it was. There, COVID was happening, but nobody believed in it then around here. And that was for left-handed reliever Aaron Bummer, a five-year, $16 million contract that included a couple of club options. He had a 2.13 ERA last season, over 67 and two-third innings, a whip under one, a WAR close to three. He's 25 years old, entering his fourth year in the bigs. And I've been saying this all along. I think this guy can be dominant. I don't know how long he'll last, like in terms of being dominant, because if you want to get it, be in the predicting business with bullpenners, you should just say 1 or 2 years, because then it seems like then they start to fall off. They can fall off quickly. They really do. I think he'll be placed in the highest of leverage against both lefties and righties and eventually be this team's closer. Think Andrew Miller in his prime. That's the kind of talent I think that Bummer has. And one of the new rules this season, as you know, will require pitchers to face at least three hitters or pitch until the half inning is over before coming out of a game. And this was Aaron Bummer. I'm going to read you something that Bummer said, speaking in the Chicago Tribune recently. He said, especially with these expanded rosters, you know you're going to have 30 guys, and instead of having a backup catcher or two bench spots, you might have four or five bench guys that will be able to platoon, Bummer said. And so in my position, the amount of times I'm going to see multiple lefties in a row, I don't think I really will. It's become, though, even more important to be able to get out the opposite hand hitters. If I'm an opposing manager, I'm going to pick and choose my points. Maybe you see an opportunity and you load the box against somebody knowing they have to face three or more hitters. There's going to be a lot more strategy involved, and you're going to see a lot more platoons in that sense as well. So let's take a look at the splits. And this is me talking now, and that was Aaron Bummer's quote there. But let's take a look at the splits. Bummer faced 90 left-handed batters last season. They had a collective 178 average against him. Against lefties, Bummer allowed 16 hits, including one homer, 21 strikeouts, and four walks. So that's what he did against lefties. Very good. Right-handed hitters now. Last season, Bummer faced 144 right-handed hitters. They collectively hit 188 against him. 27 hits, including three homers, 39 strikeouts to 20 walks. So he's pretty good against righties. They already trust him against righties, pretty good at it. And obviously, just because of the nature of our world, there are more righties than lefties. So I do think that that's a huge positive for the White Sox in this season, where you can use your bullpenners more, that you do have a terrific 1-2 punch this season with Aaron Bummer. And I've not forgotten Alex Colome. He, too, will be a big part of it. And I'm curious as to what Steve Cishek is going to give the White Sox as well. And then one other thing on the Sox for right now, and to me the most intriguing possibility when we talk about personnel for the White Sox this year is their number one overall pick this year. Garrett Crochet, selected 11th overall out of Tennessee, the big strong lefty, the one who has been compared to Chris Sale, and I don't have a problem with people making that comp. It's an easy, obvious comp, but it's not wrong. So it's not out of the question, and some people have said and do think that at some point in time, we might see Garrett Crochet pitching for the White Sox, and they might need him based on everything that I just reviewed for you, because, again, Sox pitching does not look dependable to me this year, but the bullpen does, the hitters do, and those are some of the parts, along with Lucas Giolito and Dallas Keuchel, that you have to depend on to beat the teams in your division, the 40 teams that you will play in your division. And perfectly tonight, by the way, we will talk about the Minnesota Twins a little bit later on in the show. As a matter of fact, 9:20 with Dan Hayes of The Athletic, because that's the team the Sox will play 10 times, just like the other teams in their division. But the Sox do open the season against the Minnesota Twins at home a week from this Friday. So we'll get the preview on those guys in a little bit. For Cubs fans' sake, we will get the preview on the Cincinnati. It's already a big series. I think the Cubs play the Cincinnati Reds in their second series of the year because they start with Milwaukee and then it is onto the Cincinnati Reds. So we're already circling big series, and they happen to be the second series of the year. It's pretty amazing the way baseball is working out. And I think I'm like a lot of people. Now that all the haggling is done and the ridiculousness of the back and forth between the Players Association and the owners, that is all over, and that it seems like, although – you know, there are positive tests popping up every day. It's not out of control with COVID-19. It's alarming every time we hear about a player having it, or like in the Cubs' sake today, where David Ross and a few players were being cautious, so they stayed home because they had tests and hadn't gotten the results of it yet. Like, it's always like jarring to one's ears when you hear anything about COVID-19 or anybody having it that you know of, prominent people, not just pedestrians like you and I. But it's actually been, since that first little hiccup, they've controlled it pretty well. You know, games could change things in terms of how things are done and how it goes down. But it does feel like there is certainly an opening for this to all happen and to go relatively, and that boys and girls, that will be the word of the year, relatively smoothly in trying to get this baseball season in. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I'll read some of your text messages, again, at 312-644-6767. When we come back, though, let's talk quickly about the name change that is happening. It's going down. There will not be Washington Redskins anymore. There will be a nickname change. Let's talk about it next. I'm Mark Grody, in for Joe Ostrowski, on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What's up? Mark Grody in for Joe O on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We will talk about the Cincinnati Reds at the top of the hour, 7 o'clock, about a half an hour from now. We will do that with Mark Sheldon of MLB.com for the sake of the Cubs, see what some of their competition is up to. At 9:20, we will talk to Dan Hayes of The Athletic to get into the Minnesota Twins and see if they are still as mighty and powerful as they were last year. 312-644-6767 is the phone number, and that is for the text line. We are bundled here on this radio station. I'm on Twitter, at Mark Grody Sports, from the 309. Jerry, don't cut me off. That's from Peoria, Matt. Don't worry, man. Jerry Grody here, at your service. My cousin, once removed, twice removed. He's my guy. From the 864, awesome stuff per usual, Mark, !! 3. Thank you. My God. From the 773, you need more coffee, buddy. Rodon has one more year left after this, and you are correct. I actually think I probably need less coffee at this point because I think that the caffeine kind of speeds everything up. If I was to have slowed down in that segment a little bit, I probably would have remembered that Rodon does have 2 years left. Let's put it this way about Carlos Rodon. I don't think he'll be part of the White Sox after this year. From the 312, Giolito will be like Jeff Samardzija, very inconsistent. Everyone's got the guy being an all-star. Absolutely silly, according to this texter. Could be a flash in the pan. Yeah, I don't think so, and I did consider that possibility, but just having gone through his season last year, and looking at all of his appearances, and I've done this a lot lately with Giolito, and one of the marks I think of a good pitcher or legitimacy is when you look at what they did at the beginning of a season and what they did at the end of a year. So Giolito was ridiculous in the beginning. We all know that. He was on a pace that you probably, most pitchers in history have not been able to keep up with. I mean, he was like the top pitcher in baseball for a while with some of the crazy things that he was doing, including in the first half of the season where he went into, and this is just a microcosm, I think, of legitimacy and success, and again, how I measure it, that Giolito had a shutout in Houston against a team that cheated last year and knew what was coming and was a terrific hitting team, whether they knew it or not. So, and I think he did that on the road. And then Giolito had a shutout later in the season after kind of stumbling a little bit. Like, he wasn't as, after the All-Star break, he, you know, there was that point. Like, I was watching closely Giolito after the All-Star break because that's the part where, or the second half of the season, however you want to do the math, that's the part where you're like, okay, is he going to keep this up? Is he really going to be able to do this for the whole series? And was that legit what we were seeing? And then you're kind of like, I don't know. And then he got it back together. The ERA went up a bit in the second half. But then he had a shutout against Minnesota. Again, one of the best hitting teams in all of baseball last year. So he starts strong and finished strong. And I think that's the mark of legitimacy. Do I think he's going to be top 10 Cy Young every year going forward? I don't know about that. Like, I'll give you that. Like, if you don't think he's going to be, you know, Cy Young candidate, that's fine. But if Lucas Giolito is a 1 or even a 2 going forward, I think that he will have been a success. It's probably, if he's a 2 in his career, it's probably a little bit of a disappointment considering the way he was scouted, considering where he was drafted when he was with the Nationals. But I get the question. I get the concern. But I've looked enough and looked closely enough to feel that Lucas Giolito is going to be legitimate. Let's see, what else here on the text line? From the 864, really good text messages, by the way, gang. Sounds like a hell of a swing shift. And he was just talking about my shift this week, because I'll be on for Joe O for the next 3 days, and I'll be in for Lawrence a couple of days. From the 414, Mark, I like this accountability. Mark, where were you this past weekend? It's a great question. I was not on with Stevie Sunshine, nor did I do what has turned into be my usual Sunday show. You know, I'm kind of a pandemic expert. That's my role at the station. When there are pandemics in radio, I step in and host a lot of different shows. I actually was downstate this weekend. I was in Bloomington Normal. I went to college at ISU. One of my college buddies' daughters was graduating high school. One of those, oh my God, does time fly? So yeah, I was in Bloomington Normal. I think it was Ironwood Golf Course Clubhouse, hanging out with my good buddy Chad and my guy Steve and the rest of the crew down there in Bloomington Norm. So I appreciate you asking that question. 865, welcome back, Mark Grody. Thank you. And then somebody says LaCroix is nasty. Is someone forcing you to drink it, or is this a choice? Yeah, I really like LaCroix. It's funny, man. What an industry sparkling water has become. I mean, there are so many, and I kind of bounce around, but lately, LaCroix Berry has been my choice in sparkling water. So nasty? No, I simply don't think it's nasty. But anyway, more from the text line later on, 312-644-6767. All right, Washington, D.C., ladies and gentlemen, is now 2-for-2 in nickname changes for their sports teams. The NBA franchise changed from the Bullets to the Wizards in 1997. I always thought it should have been the Washington Anti-Bullets, but no, they went with the Wizards in 1997. Understandably, and if you don't get why they changed, it's because they didn't want to have the connotation of violence and guns and bullets and whatnot. And now the NFL team, no more Redskins. The Washington Redskins announced today that they will be, as they put it, retiring the nickname and logo after completing a thorough review that began on July 3rd. And this is one of the quotes from it. I promise you I will not read everything here, but quote, "Today we are announcing that we will be retiring the Redskins name and logo upon completion of this review," the team said in a statement. The quote goes on, Dan Snyder and coach Ron Rivera are working closely to develop a new name and design approach that will enhance the standing of our proud tradition-rich franchise and inspire our sponsors, fans, and community for the next 100 years. It is, or was, an 87-year-old name. And look, man, we all take sports very seriously. I know we try to hide that and try to say that we're, you know, the toy department, which, yeah, you know, we are. But sports is what we have all taken seriously. So I get it. It sucks that you lost your nickname. It does. It sucks. And let's not act like we were all, I should say we weren't all complicit in accepting and using that nickname up until about, what, 10 years ago when we all allowed ourselves to become more educated. So I'm not going to yell at anybody or get mad at anybody because, you know what, I use that name a lot and I didn't really think twice about it. But there's really not a lot of wiggle room either. It's racist, it's disparaging, it's demeaning. There's really no other side to it. But yeah, you take sports seriously. If you are a fan of the Washington Redskins, you take the nickname very seriously. A great example of the emotional attachment is from a Washington quarterback named Dwayne Haskins Jr. We think you know him. He tweeted the following today. He said, quote, as a kid who grew up in the DMV, it'll always be hashtag HTTR, but looking forward to the future. And HTTR, by the way, is Hail to the Redskins, DMV. Yo, what's up with a DMV? It's not the LBC, it's the DMV. It's the District of Columbia, Maryland, and Virginia. I thought the tweet was eloquent. I mean, it kind of said it all. Like, that was their nickname for 87 years. If you're a kid, it meant something. If you're a kid now, you're probably like, well, what the hell's going on? Nobody ever told me this was racist and disparaging. Oh, it is. But it meant something to people. And what Haskins is saying, I think, interpreting it is, I will look fondly upon it, but yeah, it's time to move on and look into the future. So that's all I'm going to say on the supposed moral side of it. The other part of this is that it will make the new name better once this franchise, this football team, the Washington team, as we're now all calling them, once they're not sucking. This was the Washington Post's Cindy Boren, I believe is the way the name is pronounced, Cindy Boren, on the Dan Bernstein Show on The Score today.
Well, you know, the big thing, and the thing that matters more than anything else, and that will fix everything, is winning. And if, yep, you know, if Ron Rivera can put together a team, you know, they have a decent draft with Chase Young. You know, if Ron Rivera can be Ron Rivera again, nobody will care. You know, it'll be a great moment. It will have been the right thing to do. Everything will be terrific and hunky-dory. You know, the problem has been in the past that coaches, you know, the owner always hires a coach and puts him in charge of everything, and then it turns out that, you know, he meddles. And coaches and general managers come in and think, oh, it'll be different this time with me, and it hasn't been. So, you know, for Ron Rivera's sake, I hope it is this time. I hope it really is different. I hope, you know, I hope this isn't a mistake. But, you know, I mean, Mike Shanahan could tell you stories about that, you know. So we'll see. You know, winning is the key. If they can win, then, you know, you'll see people taking off their Washington Nationals jerseys and their Washington Capitals jerseys, and they'll be putting on football stuff again. Because right now, they're not wearing the Redskins stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And that's, again, the Washington Post, Cindy Boren on the Dan Bernstein Show earlier today on The Score. Dan Bernstein Show, you could hear 9 to noon every day here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Redskins were 3-13 last year. The Redskins sucked last year. Not a whole lot of Washington pride going on in last season. They were under 500 the 2 years previous to that. Haven't made the playoffs since 2015 and haven't won a Super Bowl. Haven't been to a Super Bowl, I don't think, since 1992. So maybe this proud franchise could use a change. But I imagine that the talk is hot in D.C. about that today. Here's the other thing that the name change does, and this affects everybody. It puts other organizations on a high alert, like the Braves, Indians, the Blackhawks, the Seminoles, Chiefs, Warriors. Probably missing some teams here. My guess is that they did a spit take when they saw that Daniel Snyder acquiesced. Like, that's damn Daniel Snyder. He made the change. Like, he was kind of like the guy that everybody thought was never going to acquiesce, and there he did it. So not only Dan Snyder, you know, a meddling owner who has said a lot about keeping that nickname, it's not just that, it's the damn NFL that is, in essence, acquiesced. So if you have a powerful owner and the most powerful league doing this, the other owners of other sports have to be thinking, we're screwed. Like the Braves, they're like, hey, look at us. We listen to our Native American community. We're good. We've done good things. The Blackhawks, yes, we've had talks with the community, and we're cool. We're all set. I would look. I mean, the Cleveland Indians. They're probably on the clock right about now. And I get it. There's nuance when it comes to the Blackhawks and the Braves and what they mean and who supports it and who doesn't. And I think the tomahawk chop, that probably got to go, because that is mocking to that is a high degree of mocking right there. So, yeah, that's the biggest thing. I think, like, if you want to talk about affecting the rest of sports, not just what's going on in their world in D.C., that is a huge, huge news to the ears of all these other owners. All right, we got to take a quick break. 7 o'clock, top of the hour, we're talking about the Cincinnati Reds. 8:20, we'll do early odds. 9:20, Dan Hayes of The Athletic to talk about the Minnesota Twins. I'm Mark Grody, filling in for Joe O on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Hi there, Mark Grody. Here on The Score, in for Joe Ostrowski until 10 tonight. We're talking about the Cincinnati Reds with Mark Sheldon of MLB.com at 7. And then we'll dig into the Twins at 9:20 with Dan Hayes as we explore the Cubs and White Sox competition, because you will have to play. Your teams will play 40 games against teams in the division. You got to beat the teams in your division more than ever. So we're going to gain intel on those teams throughout this week. Couple of things here. There's a word in sports that we're using a lot lately, but it's a hard word to say, and I would like to lead the way for my fellow broadcasters in correctly using this word, correctly pronouncing this word, and that word is, ready? Asterisk. Yeah. Not asterix. There's a lot of ways to mispronounce that word, but it is I admit it, it's a challenge. Asterisk. Say it with me. Asterisk.
Asterisk.
And very good. Would you have been able to say that? Like if I said, hey, what's that little star doohickey next to some things in the symbol log, Adam? Say it again.
I tend to usually not say it right. I usually think I say something more along the lines of asterisk, but it's asterisk.
Yeah. Yeah.
Asterisk.
Yeah. It is kind of a difficult word unless you slow it down. And I have heard, like, I'm going to say by my unscientific listening and polling to everywhere, locally, nationally, that word is mispronounced. I would say, I'm going to say 70% of the time people can't get that word. Asterisk. And it's important because, yeah, it's come into play so much because of the 60-game baseball season. And, of course, you have to put an asterisk next. I don't think there should be any debate. Like, a 60-game baseball season is comically low, comically different from what it normally is. I do think that it has to be set aside or noted highlighted in some way, shape, or form. You can't just, that's not standalone. You can't just say that this was a normal baseball season. It will not have been. It is completely different. It is foreign compared to other baseball seasons. So I do think that has to be noted. From the 815, hi, Mark. If Marquette had to change their name from Warriors to Golden Eagles, why would the Washington Warriors be acceptable, like a lot of people are suggesting? First of all, I didn't realize that Warriors was one of the ones that was being thrown out there, but I'll take your word for it. It's a good question. It seems like a dumb idea. Like why would you do, even if it was borderline or acceptable, but just barely, stop with the Native American theme. Just there are so many other names. There are yet unused animals. You can, as a matter of fact, if you want to repeat other animals from other sports, you can do that. Maybe bring in a car or something. But man, why are we obsessed with the Native American names anyway? That seems like a really bad idea to do anything like that would somehow pacify people anyway. Like, okay, well, if you're going to do Redskins, at least give us Warriors. No. There's a Golden State Warriors too. So I don't know if I have no idea what has happened or if anything has happened in the Bay Area. Like if they have kicked around the idea of changing that name, but boy, if that's true that they're throwing around the name Warriors, it's just really stupid. Why go through the pain in the ass of something being borderline again? And somehow that will be acceptable to people who have to have Native American in their nickname. So that's a good question from that texture from the 815. And if you want to text or call, 312-644-6767. When we return, let's take a look at a team in the Cubs division that a lot of people are saying could dominate baseball this year because of all the improvements that they have made, and they have made improvements, no doubt about it, and that's the Cincinnati Reds. We'll talk to Mark Sheldon of MLB.com next on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.